Take two. Applaud the flaw.
And we're recording, so I think we have it. Looks like.
Yeah, I want you to intro this one and kind of give me, you know, give me all the aspects you want to talk about on it. You know, and then we'll let it go from
there. So what are we going to call this episode?
I guess applaud the fall. So we rolling?
We are, but this he'll fix this part.
Okay. No, yeah. So like in general, like as you're, when you're watching babies grow up and everything like that, right? And that baby falls, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing we do is we gasp, right? And then the baby stands up and we clap so we can see the baby smile, or we don't want to hear the cry.
Oh, yeah. The first thing we do is snatch him up. Yeah. And oh, yeah, you all right?
Yeah. Brush him off. Yeah, we clap. It's like, yay. You know, like that's what I do with my grandson, right? Because yeah. I don't like to see him cry, but I know he's going to fall. So there's tension in that. But in society, like recently I've had a dear friend that he went through something, and I'm not going to go into detail about it, right? And it was very public. And everyone has an opinion of it, right? And he's a very successful guy. He's going to continue to be a very successful guy. But I've had the unique experience of seeing the behind the curtains of it, right? Like no one else really knows. People keep prying. People keep asking. But the fall, how has the fall's affected him, is that it's drawn him closer to God, right?
Okay.
There's some bad habits that he had that he cut out. Like, and it's been really unique and really neat to see. And it made me, like, when I was on my way over here, all of that, like, came together. It was like, because I seen my grandson fall right before he left. And I did the yay, you know. And then it's like, God showed me my partner, too, right? And, like, everything that he's going through. And I'm like, yay, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy how God could take something like so innocent and then show us the adult version. And like typically society's extremely judgmental, right? Mm-hmm. Because like they don't watch NASCAR for the circles. They watch it for the wreck and the winner.
Yeah, it's kind of like hockey. You watch it for the fight. Yeah.
So it's like how do we fix that within our society? Like how do we become the people like in grown in adults to say, hey man, it's okay to take that leap of faith, and if you fall, man, I'm gonna be here to have your back, or because people turn their backs on adults when they fall,
man. We're a lot more forgiving with children and even younger adults, but you know, you get a 25 year old plus and they fall. And like people want to step on him, right?
His life is over.
Yeah. Well, not only that, man. Like
I could have told you that was going to happen. I was watching it the whole time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, dude, why you didn't say something?
Everybody's an expert. Yeah. No. And so we do it two ways. As you're talking, I'm thinking of two ways. Man, historically in the churches I've grown up with, We like to look down on the sins that we like to look down on. Oh man, his mouth, or he drinks too much. He got so lit up the other night, and he said something stupid or whatever else. But you know, we don't talk about them same freaking biddies and those same guys that are talking about people when they're falling, when they had some bad luck. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the church many times is the worst place for people not applaud. You know, they applaud in your fall, all right. They stepping on you when you're down.
Well, yeah,
you know? They're pointing out every little flaw you got, like in those churches. And then we do it in regular life too. You know, instead of going to help somebody up, a lot of times we like to cut them off.
Yeah,
you know, I think we've all been guilty of that. I've had it done to me, and I've done it to others at times. Yeah. You know, and doesn't make it right. You know, it doesn't make it right. That's what do you think? Applauding the fall, like how is it different than what you've had in your life? You know,
well, no. So I understand the public humiliation of failing. You know what I mean? Socially, like and the stigma that is placed upon you. You know, like there's people on this planet that no matter how successful I become in business, no matter what I do, no matter what God blesses me with or what's achieved. throughout any organization I'm involved with, there's always going to be like, he's doing something on the side.
Like, something devious. There's something devious going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, but at the same time, man, it doesn't, but that's why it's easy for me to go back and like applaud somebody's fall and go and be in their ear and say, hey, bro, this ain't the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like, this is the beginning. There's a brand new day. Like, to it, it your tomorrow starts today. You get what I'm saying? And God's blessed me to be in that situation to go talk to a lot of grown men and be, and, you know what I mean, give them good counsel. Because I had zero friends at the end of the day when I got in my trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, I actually had one person called and checked on me. You know what I mean?
One.
out of all the people that I fed, one person called and said, are you okay?
That's because your circle wasn't right.
It wasn't. No, and it was the most beautiful thing.
So let me ask you this. If you fall, you know, new business opportunity you're doing, whatever, you know, you do something real stupid, you know, and you fall in the next, you know, the next year, 2025, you think you have people checking on you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Your circle's different now, huh?
Yeah, circle's way different.
Yeah.
And then they're going to clap the whole way because they're going to be like, dude, it took some courage to do what you did, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's and the instances are different as well, right? It's not the same circumstance. It's like everything's legitimate. And that's what's cool is that the people that know me that everything's on the up and up, right? Mm-hmm. And it shocks some people, you know, when I, like, because I've been in a room where someone's talking about, like, man, you know, there's this business that I want to buy, and I'm like, I can bring the money guy, right? And I'm,
yeah, you got different connections. Your connections are a little different now.
Yeah, they are, and it's, they're all on the up and up, and for some reason, like God's blessed me in a way that one day my life is changed, right? And it's weird. I just had this crazy epiphany because I was like, one day, you know, my life will change and I'll be able to help change somebody else's life. Like, God's going to use me as that tool. But my life has already changed, and that's why I had that awkward pause just now. It's like, my life has changed so much.
You're living in the blessing that you wish you had years ago.
Yeah, and didn't realize it till this moment.
Yeah, you are.
Like, right.
I mean, you're looking at me like you want me to say something. I have some thoughts. Probably the first thing I want to say is if you listen to someone long enough, they answer the question. So I'm sitting here with just dying to ask this question and solve the problem and everything else. And I think you may have answered it. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll make an attempt to kind of validate what you're saying. When the question I'm coming up with is one of the things the root cause is a culture issue, right? Yeah. You're hanging around a culture of people that will kick you while you're down. Or if you fall, they're going to stomp your head in, right? But there is cultures of people that will lift you up and, you know, help you get up, wipe the dust off of you, dry your tears, and help you take that next step and the next step and stick around with you long enough till you're running. And then applaud you when they pass you up. Yeah. You know, they've grown past your abilities. Very, very, we're talking about babies. I'm watching my son slowly. He's not there yet, but he's going to surpass me in some physical abilities really fast over the next, I can see it over the next decade.
Yeah, mine's pretty much there.
And so I'm doing things now to make that last as long as possible, you know, to hold him off. But he will. And so that's the statement, right? You're around that group of people. So the question that I was going to ask is, how long do you stay in the organization that you're in or the group of people that you're in and try to change the culture for the good? Or when do you abandon that and find that new culture that will support you? So that's the two sides of it. Look, I'm in a bad spot. I'm around bad people. I need to get around these people and find new people to be around that are going to support me and applaud me when I fall. Or this group of people has the potential and ability to change. I feel like my place is right here to help them change and grow.
As soon as you started initiating change in your life, like, God is going to take the people that aren't for you out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The most dangerous prayer you could pray is, God, show me who's for me and show me who's against me. Within a week, your circle will change.
So
yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, another thing is to take this in a different direction. You know, we've all been stepped on when we're down. Yeah. Every guy at this table has been stepped on when they're down. They've been betrayed by people that they thought were close to them. You know, they've had their issues. They've had guys, and we've also had people that have applauded our fall and have picked us up. Right? You know, we've been in both places. In work, in the position that I'm in, there's employees that I want to applaud their falls, and there's other employees that I'm like, you're not a good fit.
Yeah.
You're either ethically or morally or just, you know, you're just not a cultural fit with what we do here. Some of them, I don't think that they're, you know, there's times where you don't need to spend the time to pick them up. And that makes me sound like a terrible person.
No, it's discernment.
I know it, dude. It's discernment. Yeah. So, you know, but I just want to let you know, just because somebody didn't pick you up, maybe it's because, you know, you was slapping people on the way down.
Yeah.
You know, you were hitting people in the face on the way down, trying to drag them with you, you know, like, you know, God, that sounds terrible. Like, does everybody deserve to be applauded when they fall? You know, or do some people need to learn it different?
I mean, some people fall.
I don't know.
Yeah, some people fall because they lack integrity or because it finally catches up to them. They were wicked, right?
Wicked will fall. Yeah.
Do we applaud the wicked? I kind of pray for them. You get what I'm saying? Like, know what I mean? Never mind.
Uh-huh. So we elect them sometimes. I mean, sometimes we vote for them. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we pay a lot of money to go see them in concert or on TV.
Yeah. No.
I didn't mean to go there, but it just popped in my head is, you know, sometimes we don't need to. Sometimes we need to go, hey, man, you need, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, you're on your own. But typically, though, if I think that people's representative can only be around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so
explain that I know what you mean when you say that, but our audience might not know. But that's people's representative.
So I have like a 90-day rule when I encounter new people is that, like, I'll know who they really are in 90 days because their representative is always going to be joyful. He's always going to be on time. He's always going to be, like, caring, giving, go the extra mile, right? After 90 days, if that person continues to be that person, then that's their true nature and that's who they are, and they're very rare, right?
Yeah.
But typically within those 90 days, like, their true nature manifests themselves, like, and they show you who they really are, and you'll know how to deal with them and how to grow with them, or if they're not a fit, like you said, you know.
Yeah, I think Tammy and my wife and I think all of our wives would definitely say, you know, sometimes you don't applaud the flaw, guys. Yeah. Sometimes it's a marker to step on. So, and the same thing with our kids, man. Look, hey, I told you three times, quit doing that. Yeah. I'm not applauding you this time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think you have to use some common sense and some discernment, like you say. But I do think we need to lean on the side of being quick to applaud the fall.
There's going to be somebody out there and says, well, I never did applaud them for falling down. I applauded them for standing up.
Yeah.
And helped them up.
Yeah.
Too. And maybe you recognize the fall and acknowledge it because it did happen. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't hide it. That was dumb. That was a mistake. But let's throw the party about standing up, taking the next step, and getting past it. And I wonder if that's what we're actually doing with the child when it falls, or the human, if we're doing it properly, if we're applauding their rebound and not their actual decision to fall.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so much psychology to that statement. Like, subconsciously, is that what we're doing, or are we just selfish and we don't want to hear the baby cry?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You've got me thinking about it. I don't remember a time when one of my children fell down and cried and I was happy and praised them for staying down.
Yeah.
I try to remember it.
Yeah.
I'd have laughed at them if it was one of those incidents where they deserved it, you know, a four-year-old pitching a fit and they ran to the wall.
Yeah.
You got what you deserve. But on the flip side, if it's the baby and they got up, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking this through real time, but I think I spent more time personally encouraging them and rewarding the getting up.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we need to take it as a whole too. Take each instance is different. Sometimes the fall, you know, you don't applaud it and you don't, you know, you walk away from it.
Don't even recognize it, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But there's other times, like, we need to take it as a whole. You know, we have relational equity. I know if any guy in here falls, that's not who he is. You know, that's not who he is. May have been some decisions that they made and maybe been some poor decisions, but at their core, I know that that's not who they is. So I'm willing to go step in that mud puddle and to get a little dirty. A lot of people aren't willing to get dirty to go help that person, but I'm willing to do it because I have that relational equity with them. Yeah. I'm not willing to do that for everybody.
No.
If I don't know you like that, if I don't know who you are, if I only know your representative, like you like to say, you know, no, man, I'm not going to. Because my pastor, I'm trying not to use names. I was talking to him this morning about a completely different subject, but he said that sometimes when you reach down to try to pull somebody out of the water, they pull you in there and you end up drowning too.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real danger. And I think that's something that just to be wary of is it's not your responsibility to bring everybody out of the mud hole.
Yeah.
It's not your responsibility to applaud every single one. You got to make sure that person's there's, you can throw pearl to swine. I do it all the time and I'm trying to get better at that, you know, and find, you know, trying to keep that empathetic heart. You know, I want to keep that, but also know when it's time to, hey man, you know, time to step away from the situation. You know, it's tough to discern that. You know, it really is.
Because you're getting caught up. Sometimes
I've heard that statement many times. The hardest decision you'll ever make in a business venture is whether to keep going or stop, because you never know if success or what's right around the corner. Oftentimes it's not.
Most of the time you're just digging a bigger hole.
Oftentimes it's not.
You'll know if that's your 7th, 11th round.
Right. And usually when you see the picture, it's the little gold miner that gave up digging for the pot of gold, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, who stayed one more day and got the pot of gold? Reality here. Yeah.
And Thomas Edison would have tried one more time to invent the light bulb. You know, we'd have never had lights. Yeah. You know, you hear that. Yeah.
Right. So, but if he'd have kept trying after he invented it, that'd been weird too. So... Yeah. You have to know. We have to recognize success.
Yeah,
good point. But so, what's a practical example of applauding someone's fall or rise? I mean, I say a practical example, so we can tell a real story that we've experienced, or maybe just a theoretical story. But what's an example? You know, practical application that. I mean, we talked about a lot of toddlers and babies falling, but
societal, like,
yeah, like real world. Like, how do we apply this? How does our listener apply this to their world? How does this?
Man, I got a good friend of mine who, you know, was going through a bad time in his marriage, you know, had making some really, really poor decisions. And he was worth it. He was worth going into the mud for and applauding his fall and spending some time with him and trying to speak some truth and some reality into him, because man, he had scales over his eyes and he wasn't seeing the right thing. But I felt called by God, and number two, you know, he was somebody that I felt like, you know, that's not who he is. He's acting as if somebody's different. Pride will do that to us. You know, selfishness will do that to us. We've all acted like somebody who we're not for a period of time and needed somebody to, hey man, come on, it's time to get back up. And then when, you know, that person realized it and I started applauding as they stepped back and as they started coming back, not only to God, but to their senses and doing some better things. And that person has, man, you know, I'm proud of who that person is today. That person has, we applauded his fall. He got there, and then, you know, God used him in my life later on, you know, in some other things. And so I've got to see it full circle, you know, and they were able to help me with some many falls that I've had in my life as well. That's something that I always, you know, it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy the process. It was heavy. It was burdensome. You know, I caught some flack from it from some people, but man, like I appreciate that now. Even though that person and I aren't as close as we've have been in the past, Like, that's something that's a foundational thing that, you know, I'm very proud of him. And if and when he passes me up spiritually or otherwise, man, look, I'm happy. I'm applauding this dude. You know, like, good for him. Like, I want more of those kind of guys in my life. I want them to drag me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the one always dragging, you got the wrong circle, man. Yeah. You know.
So, okay, so we're business, we're hustle, we're faith. We're talking about which side. You're talking about some spiritual aspects here.
Yep.
Is there any separation between that and business?
Zero. There's zero separation of faith and hustle.
So you would treat those situations exactly the same if you're an employer? In a small business, it's you and two other people, and one of them's misbehaving or falling regularly?
I had it in my business, and I treated it the same now that you say that. Yeah. I mean, well, absolutely.
If you have that relationship, you're going to be able to have. And that's the thing that I'm looking for in, like, my new venture right now, right, is the group of guys that I'm going to put in the room that's going to make decisions with G-Bake. We're going to be able to argue.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be able to disagree. And then we're going to go get lunch.
You have to, because you're so dumb, Garrett. Yeah, and you're exactly. So goddamn opinionated.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we're going to go get lunch. And we're not going to talk about it. And then we're going to get back in the room. And
are you going to get your little mats out? No. Little Kinder mats out after lunch, take a nap together?
No, we're going to argue again. And we're going to, like, if there's something that's broken, we're going to fix it, right?
So you've heard the concept of strongmen, where we're going to pick a topic. Say, all right, Brian, we're going to start an airplane school, skydiving school, right?
Okay.
And it's your job to argue against it for 30 minutes.
Oh, I got you. My job. I'm all over arguing against it.
But now that 30 minutes is down, we have to flip. It's just debate, right? So we have to flip, and you have to argue for it for 30 minutes, and I have to argue against it for 30 minutes.
Okay.
And you have to argue as if you believe it on both.
So you have to do it passionately.
Both directions.
Okay.
And you have to argue against it both directions. And somewhere along the way, you got to take some notes. And then you got to spend some time coming together.
To me, doing that exercise, you probably will decide somewhere along the way where your heart really lies, right?
Right.
You
know?
Yeah.
Or it might change during the process as well.
I mean, every college debate team's probably learned this basic concept, but
sure.
Why don't we apply that in our workplace? How come there's not room for
it? I've never done that once. Now, I may have done it in other ways, but I've never set out intentionally and done exactly that, but I like it.
Yeah.
I'd like to do it moving forward.
Interesting. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is a cool concept, but so with the relational equity, and you got a guy that's messing up, like, you might be offended for a second once somebody tells you the truth about yourself or saying, you know what I mean, whatever you're doing wrong, like, if it's the truth, usually the truth hurts, right? You only get people get more mad at the truth than they do a lie.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can tell a lie about me right now, and I don't care. You tell the truth about me and it's something that I need to work on and I've been convicted about it, you're going to see some humbuggery.
Ah, dude, 100%. Myself included. Yeah. Myself included.
The truth is a funny word, because there's my truth, what's true to me. There's your truth, what's true to you. And then there's the truth, which probably neither one of us have right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, I mean, our version of the truth is our perspective of it, our perception, really, right? So. Nah, 100%. But I don't know. It's you can't stop the fall.
I agree. I agree. So let's argue a little bit, though. You can't stop it, but you can learn from it. Maybe we're not arguing.
100%.
If I did the same things and made the same failures and falls that I was doing 20 years ago and still doing them 15 years later and doing them 10 years later, doing them 5 years later, if I'm not progressing from that, I'm not learning from it. And that's a problem. Like, I probably wouldn't be married still if I was continuing to repeat the same mistake over and over and over. Maybe I can make some new mistakes that were unexpected. Okay. But if you're sitting there doing the same dumb thing over and over and over and over again, maybe I just don't care. Well, maybe there's a problem.
It's actually the definition of insanity.
Is it?
Yeah. It is. Doing the same thing over and over again.
Expecting different results. Yeah. That's true. We should be growing. But Sean, something my wife pointed out to me, that's how we are. It's not how everybody in the world is. Now, I believe that they should be that way, and I believe that they should constantly be evolving, but I've had this conversation, I know, with you before, and I think with you as well, is I'm 46 years old. I'm a man. I'm 46. Yeah. I don't know why I feel like I need to say that, because I think it's funny.
Because you can't say it much longer. That was a great speech.
No, I can't say it much longer.
Yeah.
But so I'm 46 years old, but I look around me at men my age, and mentally and emotionally, they're 18 to 20.
Yeah.
Like 15 to 20, you know. It's like, especially, I don't know if it's a Southern thing or if it's all over the place, because I'm, you know, from the South. But so many men, man, they're doing the same things. Their hobbies are exactly the same. And look, maybe they're just a different personality set than I am. But
yeah,
like emotionally, they never actually mature. You know, their decision making, never. They still do the same things they did. Drink beer at the same bar. Pick up the same, right, you know, 24-ounce Bud Light that they've been drinking since, you know, 1998,
yeah,
you know, whatever. And I'm like, golly, you know, like these guys never, you know, never improve and never grow, and they make the same mistakes, yeah, over and again. I don't need to applaud their fall.
Well, like, that's,
you're making the same stupid mistakes,
but,
bro.
But if you look at those guys, a lot of those guys that are doing that same thing, they lack that faith, right? So that's why the faith and the hustle go together, because
yeah,
it, man, until you have that spiritual, I'm not going to say awakening, because that's overused, right? But until, yeah, you have that moment where you encounter God, right? Mm-hmm. Like truly encounter God, you don't realize like the impact that he's going to have on your life. And when you, like, the greatest weapon that I have in my toolbox is to pray with an honest heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No, like, I do.
And that, and God's inspired the hustle, right? Because it, like, your hustle is constantly evolving. Your hustle is constantly evolving. So, do you not think that that's kind of divine?
Yeah, I think God has a huge. I never thought about God being the catalyst for our growth. You know, he's the one that leads our path and our steps. And no, we're not growing because we're so enlightened, or we're, yeah, seeking this, and like we're reading this cool book, or this, you know, listening to this book, or getting this advice. Like we're doing it because God, yeah, is allowing us and providing for us to do it. You know, I absolutely agree with
that. There's one major scripture that drives everything that we're talking about in my mind. A lot of people stall, and I'll go back to it, but give me a couple minutes.
Yep.
We do those same things over and over. We have those traditions. We call them traditions for this. Maybe they're just habits, right? We're going to stop at the same gas station every single morning. We're going to
rituals.
They just turn into these habits. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go hunting. We're going to do the same things over and over again. But then there's some weirdos. I'm one of them. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I like to spearfish. I like to try all kinds of new things. I have this, I don't even know what I want to do next, right? I'm exploring my next adventure, right? I'm trying to figure it out, but I know I'd want to do something different than I have been doing this year or coming up this year in 2025. I want to try something new, something big, something different. That's personal to me. It's not go to the same campsite and hunt the same tree that I've been hunting for the last 20 years. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But men our age, in their late 30s to getting in the 40s, typically in the little perfect little world, we've got our family, we've got our routines, we're going to church, we're going to work, we're going to this, we're doing the dance recital and the baseball stuff. And at some point, we get old.
Mm-hmm.
At 40. We stop exercising, we stop eating right, we're just waiting to retire. We're living for that day that we get to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about all of us, but I'm talking about a good portion. And we've been trained that way in America. We got our 401k, we got our pension, we got our 20-year, or if you're a government employee, what is it, 30, 32 years or something? It's a forced retirement. It's by a certain age. Once you get so many years in, you have to retire.
Unless you're in Congress, then you can stay, yeah, forever.
So we're trained to work so many years, get out of the workforce,
at our peak working years and then retire.
Yeah.
And then we need to hurry up and die before we soak up too many resources as an old person.
Yeah.
And on Social Security, Medicare. And I'm being pretty blunt with it, but I'm not sure there's another way. So with that being said, though, why do we do that at such a young age? Why do we stop learning? Why? The best answer I can come up with is not everybody's a lion. Some people are zebras,
yeah.
Right? Zebras are camouflaged. What are the stripes for, right? Camouflage? Well, the idea is a lion is camouflaged too, and it's the same color as the grass. But a zebra, you can see that thing 5 miles away shining because it's bright white and black. And zebras aren't camouflaged against their environment. They're camouflaged against other zebras. You get lost in the group.
The group think, the group mindset.
Yeah. Oh, that's deep.
And if we... Some of us are more entrepreneurial. We're more aligned. Famous Brian quote, lion doesn't have to tell a lion, he's a lion.
Never does.
But a zebra will run to the center of the pack because there's safety there. Fish, school. We don't call them fishes, we call them fish. A group of fish is a fish. They're just one big fish. Zebra, they're just zebra. They're not zebras, they're zebra. There's a group. The herds are typically a singular term.
Yeah.
And they always circle to the middle. Bait balls, if you're fishing offshore, if you're into that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. They're just constantly circling to the middle while the wolves of the sea pick them off one at a time. And
I would like to think that most of the people that are listening to our podcast tend to go more towards the lion, you know, that kind of camouflage, the cheetah camouflage, than the zebra, you know, like try to have that different mindset.
Well, and I agree. And I don't want to say that that's a bad thing.
No, it's not.
Because
they can have joy and fulfillment within that. Right?
There is. And there is a lot more zebra than there are lions.
A lot more.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They survive the lions. So they live productive lives. Don't get me wrong. They reproduce. They do their job. So I don't want to take away from that. And I know I'm kind of getting a little long, but I wanted to get to that point because we have to pick a way. And it's not a wrong way. It's not a right way. It's our way. And I'm pretty open to that mindset the older I get. So if you fall trying to do your thing, I'm not going to judge you for that, but I'll help you up because of what Brian said, because we have some relational equity. I've told him this the other day about Garrett. I said, man, you know, I feel like if I broke down in Illinois, he would drive up there to get me. He would come get me anywhere and help me do anything.
And I would do the same. I would send somebody for sure.
That for sure. But you'd still take out a help, way to right? Take that. Yeah. That's a relationship that we've built relatively strong, relatively quick.
Yeah.
That's based on trust. And I had a fun phone call the other day. I had a sensitive question to ask, and you had the answer. And I didn't know anybody else to call, and it was hilarious, but I needed to answer the question. You helped me out. And it was safe to do that. So I'm saying a lot of that because not judging your peers, but holding them accountable is very important. And to land the plane on the whole thing, if there is no vision, this is where I started this with. This is the scripture. Where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
And... If we don't have that, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? We're just going to go do the same thing over and over again. We're going to make those same failures over and over again because we're not pointed in a direction. We're not striving in a certain area. But let's flip it around and say where there is vision, there is life.
Absolutely. 100%. Last thing I want to make on this topic before we close down. We need to applaud our own fall too. Man, don't be ashamed of your fall. Man, so many times, you know, I have not applauded, you know, my fall and said, all right, that was stupid. Yeah. Man, why did I do that? Oh, man, I'm going to get back up. Now, there's plenty of shame. There's plenty of self-hatred. There's plenty of, depression, you know, wrapped around our personal falls, whatever they are, big, small, in between. You know, I'm overweight, I'm selfish, I'm lazy, I'm fill in the blank, whatever that is. We've all been those things, all right, at some point of our lives, and we've all had those falls. Man, we need to applaud and be like, all right, whew. All right, come on, man, time to get up.
You know,
we got to self-talk, and we gotta, you know, develop that internal motivator in our head that says, all right, babe, time to get big boy up and get moving, man. You know, hey, you aren't your actions over a short period of time. You're your actions over a long period of time. Yeah. And you can change them. Having a conversation with my son. And if you don't like the direction you're going, you can stop today, right now, and turn and start going the other direction. You're not going to be at your destination for a long time, but you could start stepping back in that direction. You know, applaud your own fall. Remember to do that. It's okay. You know, I'm giving you permission. Like, we do that a lot. We say, hey, I'm going to give the audience permission, man. Anybody out there right now who's in a fall, who's at the bottom, who's in there, reach out. Reach out to the people you got relational equity with. See if they can help you up and applaud your fall. But, man, you can applaud your own fall, too. You
know? Hey, and I want to jump on that and say, if it's something small, if you throw an interception, you're the NFL quarterback, and you throw an interception in a playoff game, give yourself 24 hours or maybe 48 hours. If it's a bigger thing, give yourself 7 days to wallow in it. But say, hey, I'm going to give myself 24 hours to get over it, and then I'm going to get up and move on. I'm not going to stay here. Give yourself the time. If you need a little bit of time, but put a freaking timeline on it.
Absolutely.
And cut it off.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, man, I hope everybody, you know, knows a little bit more about applauding the fall and, you know, how to get out of it. You know, the necessity of the fall. Yes. Like, it's okay. Scrape that knee up. You got to have some scars to be strong in this world. So, you know, I hope y'all got a little bit out of this this content, and we look forward to talking to you next time. As always, you know, like, share, tell me your comments below. Tell me where we're wrong. You know, I'll be more than happy to hear it. I'd like to learn. So talk to y'all soon. Bye. Good deal. We've